Welcome back, my creative nerds. I'm your host, Sean McDonnell. This is the Do More Cool Shit podcast, and you're listening to episode 42, Be Creative Wherever You Are. And I'm hanging out today with my good friend, Zach Daler. We'll be hanging out with him in just a little bit. As always, I want to talk a little bit about what episode just happened and what episode's about to happen. So if we look back to episode 41, if you haven't had a chance to listen to that yet, I talk a little bit about trying it all. And I think it was, I think there's something there. We talk a little bit about our fears and our anxieties around creativity and trying new things. And I think it's really important that we do push ourselves to try more things and to keep overcoming this fear of like being judged or being graded when in fact we're not, we're adults. If you're listening to this podcast, you're probably an adult. And if you're not an adult, then great. Keep your little kiddly spirit within you to just keep trying more shit. And I think that's so important. So please go back and give that one a listen. And then upcoming after this one, I want to talk a little bit about how to keep things a little bit more simple in episode 43 and why that's so important to not overcomplicate things. And I'm going to bring lots of kind of examples to that. And I'm really excited to be able to cover that episode in the future. But right now, let's talk about hanging out with Zach Daler and being creative wherever you are. Zach Daler is a good friend of mine. He's someone who I've known for quite some time now. And when I met him first, he was the executive director of a business improvement area. And although his job had small amounts of creativity in it, I didn't fully understand how creative and how great and how much of a doer this fellow was, how much of an artist Zach really was. And it wasn't until later on, after a couple job changes and a couple of career shifts, that I truly found out by crazy surprise that Zach is an amazing fucking phenomenal painter. And just an overall amazing creative fellow. So him and I had the chance to do a lot of brainstorming in some of the work that we had been doing. And then once he lost his job and shifted a few times, it was only then that he sent me a photograph of this portrait that had been painted. And I was blown right the fuck away. I had no clue that he had painted like this. When I asked him, I said, "Who painted this?" And he was like, it was me. It just blew me away. So if you need to, make sure and go check out his Instagram account. And also, before we go any farther, if you're listening to this and you want to get a little bit more beard in your life, a little bit more red flowing beard in your life, this episode is a video episode. Most of the episodes that we're going to have with guests will be video episodes. So you can go check that out at youtube.com/do more cool shit over there. We're hanging out over there. But if you're not and you're just listening along, that's great. Hang out with us. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the other places where you're listening to podcasts. I'm so lucky and so thankful to you guys are hanging out with me. If you are hanging out on Apple or on Spotify, and you can drop a little rating, give me a little comment, you know, make sure and go hang out on domorecoolshit.com. Drop us any kind of comments over there. Tell us what you're working on. I friggin' love it. You guys are fueling the passion and the desire to do more of this stuff and to make this more of a conversation. And so I thank you for that. I thank you. I really do. This has been such an amazing ride already. Super excited that we're in episode 42. And I'm excited to have to bring to you this conversation with Zach. Zach is, like I said, an amazing artist, but he's just overall a really good example of someone who has creativity just burning within him. And I think you'll see throughout this episode, you're going to feel that passion. You're going to feel that excitement and that creativity, but you're also going to see a little bit of tempered down version of that as well. Because one thing that I thought is really interesting, and I have talked to Zach about this often, is that he is not a full-time artist. He is not a full-time creative. He has a day job that pays his bills. He has moved and he has shifted careers a few times. And as much as I have always tried to push him into the creative world fully, like 100%, there is still some concern. There's still some risk-averse tendencies there. And that's why I thought this was such a unique, interesting conversation to have, because I think Zach is coming through that moment. And I think there is a moment now where we're talking about there's a moment in the podcast where we spend talking of a few minutes about it's been 20 years percolating within him, this idea that maybe he could do it. Maybe he could do some art. And now he's shone that light just a little bit. You know, he's shown glimpses of that. And I really adore that. And I think that if you guys are listening, and I hope that you also take from that energy and that idea that, like, it's never too late. You know, Zach's had many different career shifts. He's worked in many different industries. And he still has this amazing talent and now this, like, small flicker of a light to be able to paint. And I have never seen an artist, a creative, more excited to talk about creativity, to talk about art than Zach. And it's just been tampered down by this risk-averse nature that we have and this risk-averse world that we have, that artists, it's hard to make a living doing art. And I think Zach has learned that, and you're going to hear that in the conversation. But one thing that I really, really love, and I just want to say this before we get started with our conversation with Zach, is that one thing that I took away from this conversation that I friggin' love all the time is that the two first pieces that he ever, like, showed and gave away were two pieces of amazing art that were on drywall. And you're going to hear Zach tell that story of how he was working on some home renovation stuff. And then all of a sudden this inspiration struck and he just had to throw everything down. He had this paint and he just painted. And it's one of the most beautiful things. And to me is that he talks about that moment of clarity, that moment of, like, it's in me and it needs to come out of me. And it just needs to keep going, you know, and his idea that repetition, once he did one, then it was easier to do two. Once he did two, then it was easier to do three. And this idea, again, that he talks about challenging and growing bigger and trying different things is all wonderful. But the one thing that I love the most, and this idea of, like, being creative where you are and looking around at what you have, like, around you to be able to create, be able to make stuff, I think is so, so important. And I hope that as you listen to this, I hope as you get to that part where Zach talks about for the first time putting paintbrush to drywall and then actually photographing it and actually giving it away, I think that is such a momentous occasion. And I hope that you can do that with whatever it is that you have lying around. You know, we've talked a lot about, you know, needing the right equipment, getting the right microphone, doing whatever. And I think all of that is such bullshit. One of the biggest things that I credit to being able to do the things I'm doing now and is the fact that I grew up in a very small town where we had very limited resources. And sometimes you just had to make do with what you have. And I think we use those excuses to stop us from doing stuff, you know, and I think Zach is a great example of, like, okay, enough with the bullshit. Let's just put paintbrush to something, whether it was a wooden board, whether it was a piece of drywall, whether it was whatever, at one moment in his life, boom. And hopefully that moment sparks for you guys as well. Hopefully as you listen to his story, hopefully as you're looking around, you can just figure out wherever you are to figure out how to be creative in that moment. I think we, just like athletes, right? Athletes, this is a great example. And I know I always am talking about sports, but it's because of my background, but it's also because I think it really translates here. And especially in this moment, some of the best athletes in the world, they have to continually be working on their craft. They have to continually be practicing. You don't see amazing athletes at the top of their game not practice, not eat proper, not sleep well. So why do we think it's any different for us creatives? Whereas, like, you want to be creative. You tell me that you want to be creative. You're telling yourself that you want to be creative. And maybe someday, one day, sure, great, whatever. That's awesome. But what about practicing it right now? What about putting your actions where your mind is kind of tumbling around with this idea that you might want to be creative? And one of the things that I loved about Zach, before we get into that conversation, one last thing I'll talk about in relation to Zach is that no matter where he has always been, he has, one, always said yes, to me at least anyway. He's always been up for having fun, up for trying something new, up for being challenged. And he also has always put creativity into his job. He's always continued to practice it. He's always been able to, like, let a little flicker out. Now I think that flame is starting to grow and build, and it's amazing what momentum will do to that, right? So once a little spark is lit, it only takes a little bit of oxygen and a little bit of nurturing to turn it into a blazing fire. And Zach is on that path now, and I can only hope that as you listen to this episode, that you too, whatever that little spark is, you pick up that paintbrush, you pick up that camera, you pick up whatever camera you have. If you want to be a photographer and you don't have any money to own a camera, that's fine. We live in a world now where your cell phone can start you out as a photographer, right? We live in a world where you can make a website out of nothing, from nothing, for nothing, with no dollars. You can make a website. You can make an email address. You can have an Instagram account. You can have whatever it is to help you start practicing that is, whatever it is you want to be doing. You can be creative wherever you are. You don't have to think of yourself as being in this warehouse or being in this space or state of mind or anything else. You can just sit where you are right now. Sit where you are right now and think about how you can be creative or do something a little bit different in your job, in your life, on your weekends. Wherever you are right now, you can be creative. We have the tools. I know you have a pencil. You want a pencil. You want a pen. You want a paper. You can be creative. You have some very rudimentary tools that are going to actually give you an advantage, I think, over some of the people that have access to everything possible. You have rudimentary tools right now, and the best one is right here in your brain. Your brain is super powerful, and the more you practice creativity, the more you practice being what it is you want to be, whether it's a writer, whether it's an artist, whether it's a videographer, whatever it is, if you start telling yourself right now, how can I incorporate this into my daily life? How can I be more creative with the tools and the things I want to do right now? You're going to find a difference in your life. You're going to find that creative spark. That creative spark is going to turn into a small flame. That small flame is going to burn down the art world. You're going to take over. I believe that. I really do believe that because we get stuck all the time in our humdrum moments of our lives. But what if we didn't? What if we allowed that spark to ignite? And that's exactly what Zach Daler talks about. And I am so excited right now. I'm going to shut up and we're going to get right into that conversation. And I will see you on the other end of this episode. Thank you for tuning in and we will catch you on the other side. Hey, Zach Daler, welcome to the Do More Cool Shit podcast.
Oh man, cool shit. That's great.
When I think of cool shit, I think of Zach Daler. I didn't always think of that because I didn't know who you were at the time. But when you were at the BIA, this is like going back many years ago. But I was like, yeah, I don't know. Zach seems cool. That's nice. And then you kind of moved on from that job, moved on to a different thing. And then eventually you were like, hey, look what I painted. And I was like, what the fuck? It blew my mind.
I later got the shit part attached to my name.
Yeah.
Cool. Now,
well,
now
I mean,
cool
we
shit.
Always did some cool stuff together. We always true, did, yeah. You know, we were, you know, doing some creative yeah. stuff, but I didn't know the level of it that existed and exuded within you. So maybe we'll start with going through a little bit of your journey, because we met when you were the executive director of BIA
yeah.
here.
Yeah. Well, so I guess my journey to a certain extent, you know, with talking about creativity, you sort of have to, I think, flip flop between sort of the personal and the work experience and all that sort of goes to create your creativity, right? So, you know, my parents and my dad in particular, you know, it was a theater teacher as a theater teacher. And, you know, that really sort of influenced the idea of art, right? Or creativity, right? And there's a lot of things right. that go into a stage production, from set design to costumes to performing. And there's always a bit of creativity that's sort of flowing around. And my older brother ended up sort of being really creative, and that's what he does professionally. You know, he does amazing murals through Chroma Projects and is a professor with the Art Academy in Cincinnati. And So he always sort of did that. He blazed that trail sort of forward. And for me, art and photography in particular was what I was really interested in. I wanted to be a photojournalist. I love that. That's where the idea of portraits sort of comes from.
Right.
And you know, you sort of go through life and you make certain choices where you see your older brother already doing art and doing that stuff, and you sort of think, well, I guess he's doing that, so I'll do something else. You know, I'll use the other side of my brain. And not that I sort of cast it aside, I was always creative. You know, I did political science, so you get creative with words and the gift of gab to a certain extent.
Yeah.
That served me well. You know, then I did urban planning, and you get a bit more sort of creative with you know, land use, but also just presentations and design that goes into that sort of stuff. And then, to tell you the truth, it really wasn't until I sort of started getting tattoos. This is a weird sort of bridge and segue. And I actually wasn't.
It's all right. We like weird here. Weird's
yeah,
good.
And,
weird's
and
fine.
And I wasn't working. And I just sort of, you know, throughout my life, I've always had spurts of creativity and being like, feeling like I just got to get it out. And it's, you know, I had a huge outlet for that in high school, not so much in university.
Right.
And then just, you know, the reality of life, trying to pay your bills and pay back student debt. And so I just had to get it out. And again, where it extended from photography, I just started to wanting to paint portraits. And that's sort of what I did. And, you know, by getting tattoos and sort of seeing how they did the imprint on the arm and the pattern, and then overlay that, sort of in my mind, it was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense to me in terms of what I want to execute as a creative outlet, but also I'd say a craft.
Yeah. I'm fascinated that you, I want to go back to your brother for a second, because I'm fascinated that you said your brother went into art and then you were like, well, I guess I got to go the other way.
Yeah.
Like what was that thought process, or what, like, did anybody push you that way, or did you just think, I got to be different? Or
no, I think really when you look at it, your parents, right way, wrong way, especially, you know, kids of that 80s generation, you know, doctor, lawyer, you know, teacher, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
There's that general societal pressure, I think. And also for me, one of the things that and no offense to artists or creatives out there, you know, I had a certain desire to make some money right away. It's not to say that you couldn't and can't do that, and I'm sure you're gonna push me
right out. Don't believe him.
Yeah, right,
he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I also, like, that's doing a bit of a disservice too to, you know, the work I've done professionally, where I really am very lucky in that I can exercise both sides of my brain. And, you know, dealing with challenges in terms of economic development and neighborhood planning and, you know, business improvement is really fun and is really great. And so I'm very fortunate to be able to have both those sides come out now at this point in my life, right? And so I'm super excited to see where that goes and what that is, you know, at late in life.
Yeah.
Creative.
Yeah. I mean, we you know, we met when you were doing a very different job, and definitely you had the creativity in there, right? Like, you got to mix that and you could see that daily. Like, that's, you'd see it on the street, you know, and that was always interesting to me, because it was like, oh, here's another route where you can have a quote unquote normal 9-to-5 job, but still have that creativity in it and not lose that
and
part of yourself.
And
you
I
know?
Think that's really, you know, one of the things to keep in mind when you think about jobs and careers. There's a lot of ways to be creative through what you do. You know, some of the things, like the project that we did that was really fun was, you know, window Scrabble. You know, that's, you know, people could walk around the neighborhood and do Scrabble with their kids. And, you know, I think I was super stressed about it happening. It happened, and then it sort of hit, and it was good. And one of those things is you want public spaces and, parks, plazas, squares, business windows, to be engaging for people, to remind people of what it is to sort of be in space and to connect with people. And that's, again, what I've tried to do through the jobs that I've had, whether that be, casework for a member of parliament, or doing BIA work, or what I do right now with markets. You want people to sort of feel that creativity through their own creativity. And that could be like painting on a road and somebody walking by being like, "Oh my gosh, I never thought we could paint on a road. Well, yeah, why the heck can't we paint on a road?" And I get to
Yeah,
be,
right.
the person who works through sort of closing down the road and making it happen and all that. But anything's possible if you sort of are curious and creative enough to make it happen.
Absolutely. Actually, this is a prime question for you. So, living in the city that we live in, why are so many buildings gray and brown and whatnot, when there are so many other places in the world that have so many varied colors of buildings? Like, is this
That's actually
what's going on
really,
here?
really funny. I joked about this morning. It's so funny. On the way to work, I was like, "Our architecture resembles a cubicle."
Right? Yeah, why?
It's got,
Why is that, Zach?
yeah.
As an urban planner, why is that?
I'm not sure. There's I think various stages of stately. But I think the hard thing, when you look at the creativity of cities or spaces or places, is in Canada, in Ontario in particular, we live in sort of like an amalgamated, state where these small towns and villages, amalgamated into these larger towns, or larger cities, sorry. And Ottawa is one of those. And that's a whole different mixing of people, which is great. But it sort of created an environment of competition between little places as opposed to like connection. And I'm not sure how that'll work out, but that goes back to the idea of, that's where creatives come in, creating cool and interesting things that people want to travel to go and see, whether that be on, the light rail, whether that be walking, whether that be driving. I think we're in a state in the space now where aquariums exist, wax museums exist, roller coasters, all that stuff exists, but I don't think that's what people are really interested in much. Like, it exists, totally. Don't get me wrong, it's cool. But I think people are really interested in cool, unique experiences, should that be for, one-offs or for 10,000 people. Just look at how many people sort of go to the Van Gogh exhibit, right? And not to undermine or to diminish that, but that's just, bed sheets and projectors.
That, yes, I agree. I was like, what? This is just a projector on a wall. What is happening? Where are our standards?
But yeah, people, they're just into cool, genuine local experiences. And I think your point about painting on walls or the color or the diversity of architecture is sort of spot on. There are some interesting things. Like, I think there are some cool things about the Shaw Centre, for instance, but that's more recent. But again, yeah, it sort of is a demanding more walls are painted on and sidewalks are painted on, because again, we do, I don't know what the future identity of Ottawa is, but the past was office space, right, for the public service, and such as you got on the exterior.
I just think that was it. You just sparked that when you were talking about like painting on a road. It's like when people are like, whoa, you could do, yeah, of course you can. Like, why aren't we? And why isn't our life filled with stuff like that? Like, why do we revert back to humdrum gray and brown, and why isn't it filled with color? We like color when we were kids. Is it wrong to like color as an adult?
No, for sure. And I think, again, with some of those things, we just have to be prepared to say, "Well, why not?" Right? Like, let's do that. It's okay to say there's going to be challenges. It's okay to say that there's going to be some things that we have to sort out, but why not do something? And again, like, that sometimes is limited. You have to, you're not going to put, a really cool sail installation on the side of the Ottawa River because it might blow away. But, you know, you have to think about logistic things. But
yeah,
you can, you know, maybe, I don't know, do something mesh. Anyways, now we're talking about sails.
Now we're talking about a very specific thing that may or may never gonna happen.
Yeah.
If you're into sail installations, this is the podcast
for
you.
Get at me.
Get at Zach. But let's talk about your real art. So you left a position that I knew you in, or like I knew you working in, and then I think you took another position in government, and then was it after that that you bestowed upon me your wonderful talent that we see? So for those that are watching this podcast, if you're listening to the podcast, you're missing out, because Zach's a beautiful man. But if you're watching it on YouTube, then you've been treated to what's behind Zach, and you'll see the portraits that are there. And is that when you started doing those portraits? Was kind of, I don't know, probably like 4 years ago, were saying?
Yeah, they sort of explodes out. And at the time I was working in politics, the political side of government. And I was really stressed out. I was really burnt out. I was really sort of like, why am I doing this? And nothing against, you know, any of that stuff. It's a really fascinating and enjoyable job, but I just had to get out of it. You know, you sort of get to a point where I've worked up to maybe doing that for a really long time, and you get there and you see it, and it's just not maybe what you think or that you want. And so, I left that job, I think probably more for my own mental health, to sort of say, hey, look, like, what is it that I really want to do? Like, I need to obviously pay bills, but I need to figure this out to a certain extent. And as I say, you know, I had those sort of creative bursts throughout my life, and I just knew that I needed to get something out. And one of the most amazing things that has sort of happened in my life is my wife Liz, and through that she loves to travel, and so we've traveled, and I've always been into photography, but I've always been sort of obsessed with portraits and getting a good portrait, and so in our travels that's sort of what I've been sort of trying to get, but that wasn't sort of enough. And so, you know, in that time off, I started to look back at these portraits that I had taken, and
tell us about your portrait taking, because you travel and I find that interesting too.
So the portrait taking is more just, you know, where I want to, I'm trying to see if I have actually any around me. No, I don't, but I'm not looking to necessarily get that National Geographic, you know, super glossy, super awesome photo. I really just want to get a photo of a person. As you can maybe tell in our conversation, I can talk, I can gab, I can connect, you know, that's that other half of my existence, right? That would pay the bills. But I also think I'm to a certain extent a pretty sensitive person or an emotional person. And, you know, you can sort of pick up on that in a crowd or whatnot. And we're actually just not all that different, I think, when you boil it down. You know, we all sort of want to be treated kindly and all that. And so, just as we travel, I sort of make sure that I take a point of talking with somebody and, you know, saying, hey, you know, can I take that pic? Can I take your picture? It's not something I surprise on people. I think I've done that a few times where it's been like, I just got to get a photo of sort of something in whatever. And there's actually one recently in Italy where it was just too good to not take a photo of this gentleman in a crowd. He was so dapper.
But like you don't know these people.
No.
At all. I mean, other than like you've had a few like you talked to them a little bit.
And so
do you remember the first time that you ever took a photo like that? That even that takes a little bit of courage to like, hey, say, hey, you're a stranger, can I take your photo?
Well, so it was something in high school that I did. You know, for those maybe a bit younger, you know, that was when we were doing, you know, actual film and developing it in a dark room and all that. And I was really, really into portraiture. Like, still at that time, it was something where you see a good portrait just wherever it was, black and white, you know, whatnot. It it said something. It was sort of a way to capture people. And so that's really where it started for me. And believe it or not, you know, I did apply to Queen's University, I think it was, you know, arts program. I don't think I got in. I did get into their political science program, though. So I've just always taken photographs in what I've done, and as almost as a living record. And so portraits are really important, but I also think there's an element there. If you look at the paintings, like, everybody wants their portrait or a good picture taken, you know, not necessarily after that. I'm after that sort of immediate sort of, right. of thing. But yeah, I would say the first portrait that I ever took that I was like, whoa, like, I love this is actually, the one behind me here, that you can see.
Yeah.
The name is Jim. And that was the first one that I really sort of painted. And that actually came out, that photo, in my master's. I was doing my internship on reserve in Saskatchewan, northern Saskatchewan. You know, internship, it was, they had a few projects, planning, community planning sort of going on. And I was lucky enough to be on this sort of one reserve. Where the elders sort of wanted to take somebody on a walk to sort of show them challenges and issues that we're sort of having around and take photos. And I was sort of said, well, yeah, I'll absolutely do that. And the gentleman behind me there, Jim, didn't speak English, but sort of walked around, sort of showed us stuff. And then I sort of, like, he had such a presence that I just sort of, you know, I said, hey, can I take your picture? And he's sort of nodded, and then he sort of stood in a really stately way, and the whole photo is very sort of stately and gives off a sort of a real sort of energy to that whole history, just a whole lot of things. And it was where I sort of first had that connection of wow, like, there's something there. It's there's something, again, not to my skill, not to whatever, but to the connection that can be made, and then what that sort of can be translated into in terms of a story or in terms of education. And that's really where the portraits come from. Also to, you know, traveling to Egypt and seeing sort of Roman, you know, portraits and things on wood. I just started to sort of realize that there's always been this tradition of portrait painting and portrait taking. And it just took me a really long time to figure out what it was that was jumbling around in my head, and then be like, oh, this needs to be expressed on acrylic on pine, right? Like, that's such a classic sort of way. So right. It was a whole lot of, you know, 30 some odd years of thinking about portraits.
And had you painted much before? Because when you showed me that for the first time, I was like, I just remember being blown away, because I was always surrounded by art, and even you and I were surrounded by art, and you never, I didn't know you painted, you know, and then all of a sudden you sent me this image and I was like, whoa, that's cool. Who did that? And you're like, well, I did. And I was like, what? What the fuck?
So I learned to paint.
I was like, excuse
I
know. Me?
I learned to paint actually with my dad doing folk art. And so, like, that's it, right? Like, I create a pattern and I execute on the pattern, and that's really where that comes from. And so again, it's another one of those things where, I think, you know, one of the things I admire probably the most about outwardly creative people, right? You know, is this excitement to just be creative with anything, you know, throw you Play-Doh, throw you whatever, like, let's just be creative. I love that. I love that freedom. But I think for me, it just took a really long time to perhaps give myself permission to be creative with things and with, you know, paint, and saying, well, let's, you know, you've taken portraits, or you've, you know, you've done certain drawings, or you've done this. Well, let's see what you can do with acrylics. And again, a major influence there is also my brother, Matt. You know, he's a really talented artist, a master screen printer. And so I think one of the things where, you know, I think a lot of people don't appreciate is, you know, you don't, a really great chef doesn't just sort of throw food on a plate. There's a lot of technique that goes into it. And so that's where I'd say, it took me a long time to figure out what techniques worked for me. And I wouldn't even say I'm really technically strong at this point, but it's about the practice, and it's about the sort of the commitment to trying to do something fun, right? Let yourself be creative,
Had you
right?
been practicing
What's that?
though? Had you been practicing all those years?
A little bit, yeah. So I've always,
Because that still blew my mind. I remember being both proud of you and I remember being so mad. So I was like, what do you mean you have never shown me this shit
Right,
before? And I was like mad that I hadn't like seen progression or that you had even ever done that. So that's cool.
one of my favorite things. So this is like a sketchbook from when I was like a
Yeah.
teen,
Oh
right?
yeah.
And
Yeah.
so,
No, that's awesome.
like I've always sort of been practicing and drawing and taking and photographs and figuring out how to sort of execute on these things, right? Like, not that you can see this, but you can sort of see like the assembly of large portraits as a kid. So it's,
So like decades, you've been dabbling for decades.
yeah. And it's sort of now just come out as a paint blob, paint burst.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Again, like, I think it's, I really admire really creative people who just sort of go after it and put themselves out there to do it. And I think that's sort of, maybe the bridge to why don't you do it full time? Why don't you do this? Is, I really enjoy this corner in my basement, and I'm not sure other people would enjoy. I'm not sure any of those other things, but it's a really fun thing to be able to do.
Well, and then the bug hit you. Like I so this creativity was like lying inside you. I mean, obviously, it was coming out little bits here and there, but then it like exploded 'cause you just started like a maniac painting all of these things, oh, like one after the other, right? And I, because I photographed probably, I think it was 52 of them, and I know there's way more than that now.
We're well into probably over 100 plus, but it just sort of happened where, so the idea here is like it's a piece of pine, a piece of board that's sort of really accessible. And at the time, again, like I think part of the motivation was, this is actually Keith Haring, huge influence. But it actually at the time, sort of exercising both sides of those brains of my brain, so this art came out. It's so funny, I'm looking here, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, so there's Vidal, there's Serena. Anyways, so when I wasn't working, and again, you were encouraging me a lot. You were sort of saying like, "This is really great. You should think about this." And my mind is still and was at that point sort of this sort of singular lane. And I had this idea where I had, as I said, sort of all this influence on portraits and over history and all that. And I knew that I could sort of execute this sort of portrait on the wood, and there was a lot to it. And so I started to try and figure out, well, like, what would I do with this? What would I make it in terms of a business? Because at the end of the day, I love it, but I do want to get paid or get paid, and I think that's people's points. But beyond that, it actually started from the idea of funeral homes, and that's where the business plan sort of came up, where I sort of thought, we've all been to funerals and we've all gone to sort of a celebration or a somber event, and there's that photo of that person that's there, and I can turn them around fairly quickly. I thought, man, wouldn't that be awesome? Like, everybody wants would want their portrait painted, and that's where the idea really sort of took off, and that's where I sort of started to really like go wild on the practicing, being like, okay, this is the idea. Like, if I want to do this, I should be able to confidently do that. You don't want to drop off a bad portrait of somebody who passed away.
In memoriam, yeah.
Yeah,
Here's my scribble of the person who has just
totally.
passed. You're welcome.
Anyway, so it didn't really take off because I ended up getting a job, but that's where it went. And I thought, what.
Boo,
What,
boo.
boo, boo, boo. And this isn't
Boo.
as true.
Got a
You're right,
job.
Sean. It's true. Like, it's, I think it's for anything, it's more my own nervousness to not and timidness to do it, right? I have a really low tolerance for risk. And Man, like my hat's off to folks who are out there doing it. Like, you know, I was telling someone the other day, you know, I was talking to you not too long ago, and we were talking a little bit about, I think it was Twitch and these platforms where, you know, my mind is so singularly focused on Ottawa and around here, and it's a big creative world out there, and there are so many people out there that I think are into what you're doing, and maybe just to take a small piece into a larger piece that, you know, I hope I learn from and other people learn from, is like, you know, you get that sort of encouragement from you and others, and you think, wow, you know, people like this is neat. Oh, well, heck, like in that big wild world, like I bet a lot of people are gonna like what you're doing. And so just like, don't let it ramble around in your head too long, you know, get it out there, start, you know, always sort of being creative. I think that was my sort of, I don't like to say I have a big regrets or anything like that, but I definitely put being creative in my own practice to the side. And so in some ways, you know, it's like people if you like it's a return to Jesus moment. This is a return to paint moment for me.
But I think that's actually a really good point you bring up about, I think people do think that because it's like, oh, I only have 10 or 15 people around me. They're going to like it. You know, we only live in a city. How many people can own, you know, a portrait? But yeah, we live in this crazy world now that's like super connected, and you're going to find a fan for anything. Last season, I was talking with someone, and we were talking about they loved, I was like, what's your creative outlet? You know, and she was like, I actually love taking stitching out of
Yeah,
things.
okay. Yeah, I can see
Like
that.
not stitching or
Yeah.
crocheting or anything. It was like taking stitching out and like being in the
Yeah.
moment. And I was like, I bet you there's a group for that. And after that talk, after that conversation, I went and found, and there was like, yeah, there was like 15 groups of like ladies that undo stitching and like re-put, and then, you know, they have another friend who re-puts, and it was like, there is a group for
Yeah.
everything.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a not conspiracy sort of person, but you know, I think there's a lot of perils to the internet. I think this is wonderful that we're connecting this way, but I think one of the more wonderful things that's out there is that, you know, ability to connect in communities like that. You know, there's since doing this and actually putting my artwork online, yes, the big bad algorithms, all that, I don't get it, but like the artwork that's sort of been funneled to me through that of other people that I've followed, that I've got to learn, that I've got to share their work has really expanded my understanding of what I'm doing and what I'm interested in and where I want to go and what I want to do it. And I think that's only going to grow and only going to be more exciting. And so I'm actually really curious to see, and maybe this is like old man Taylor sort of talking here, but you know, those who are in that sort of age, like 10 to, you know, 16 or whatever right now, who are drawing and doing social media sort of artwork and Twitch of their video games and all that, like that's all going to lead to some really cool sort of artistic expressions over the next little while that I don't think, you know, we've really sort of thought of. And I think that that's really, really fun. And the idea that we now exist in a space where you can create with somebody in Brazil, or you can, you know, you could be anywhere and we're having this conversation.
Endless. Endless, really. Speaking of that, actually, is so funny. You just sparked something. Have you seen people doing like Minecraft art? Like
No,
art
that's
in Minecraft?
awesome. Right? Yeah.
Unreal. Unreal. And like, I was like, oh, okay. Like, yeah. Some people were like, oh, it's really cool. You should check out. Like, some people are doing it. And I'm like, okay, it'll be fun. They'll have some built little cabin or whatever. No, like, why? Like, wild, huge, massive scale things. And I'm like, oh, you've built this in a video game. And, you know, they are IRL real life
Yeah.
artists. But then, you know, building this, they've transformed and like building, like, they, I bet you someone could do recreate one of your portraits
Oh
in
yeah,
Minecraft,
absolutely.
which like blows my mind.
Absolutely. And again, like I think, you know, I saw someone the other day on one of the like Meta headsets that was sort of spray painting and doing that, and that's just so neat. And I think, you know, if I had had I'm not at all sort of saying I didn't have creative outlets. You know, I had a whole art lab and all that stuff in high school that
Sure,
was wonderful,
sure.
but you sort of think like the exposure of work that's out there, you know, being able on the iPad to sort of zoom in on brushstrokes or artwork, you know, I think we all lose attention span as we get older, but you know, kids being able to obsess over that stuff is, I really think we're in a really cool sort of phase where art is really going to start playing a way more important role in people's lives. Not that it hasn't in the past, but you know, I think it was funny. You know, I think maybe before we started, or just as we were talking, like, why don't we paint buildings and things like that? I actually think we're headed into that time. You're seeing a lot more murals pop up, way more than maybe you sort of ever thought you'd see, from graffiti artists and mural artists. You know, you're seeing a lot more people dress up their curbside with, you know, whether it's a cute rock sculpture or a free library. I think you're going to see a lot more sort of unique things start to pop up in our cities and in our towns.
I hope so. And I hope that, because I think there's a desire for that kind of stuff. I just hope the rule makers, you know, as we all get bigger, because I watch people, like I've seen people put stuff, you know, on the front lawn. I've been a person who's put stuff on my front lawn and got questions or concerns sometimes from people. Yeah. And it's like, well, wait, what's your concern? This is a free library book.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And I,
what, like, you know, I don't know. I think we have to like untighten our bum holes a little bit.
Totally. I think it comes down to, you know, how you approach those situations. Yeah. You know, there's, you want to encourage that. You want to encourage neighbors to know each other. And, you know, I'll be the first one to tell you, I joke, like the first line on my resume is really good at being yelled at. You know, I've been yelled at a lot in a lot of different ways, from business owners to, you know, residents to politicians to, you know, and just random people walking by on the street. And I think it's just sort of how you approach those things. And we're really quick, in particular in Ottawa, I think, to jump to, well, that's not what the rules say. But, well, no, right. Well, okay, tell me what the rules say. And then let's talk about how we adjust this to make it work. And again, I think there's an element there where we have to a certain extent lost a bit of reasonability in decision making, where, you know, is this hurting somebody should be our first question. You know, like, is this hurting, you know, is there people walking by tripping, you know, breaking their legs, you broke up a piece of concrete, and then let's take it from there and see how you solve the problem.
Yeah, that's fair. I want to jump back a little bit, because one of the things you said is something that I definitely had a note about in my, when I was thinking about what we were going to chat about. And you said the word accessibility, which is like acrylic on pine. Do you remember the painting that we have two, and I think they were maybe one of your first two. Do you remember the first two that you did that I have now? And they're on what, Gyprock?
So one is on drywall.
One's on drywall.
I think the one is on pine, right? The one of Brian.
Well, we have two that are on
really?
Wall.
What one?
Yeah, we have two. There's one of old farmer gentleman and an older lady.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, totally.
Which I think is the older lady, maybe is the first one you ever did. Because it was actually quite long. They were quite big.
Yeah, totally. So,
And it was, they were both in blue. And I remember, I loved that. People have definitely questioned it. People have been like, "Where? What is this? Why do you have a piece of gyprock in your house?" You know? And I'm like, oh, well, sheetrock. And I'm like, well, it's just what the guy had on hand. And he had so much creativity bursting out of him that he had to, like, do that.
And I think that sort of is, the idea that, you know, you need to get your canvas and you need to get your lighting right. You need to do, you know, no, it's really about a feeling. And again, I'm not sort of trying to discredit technique or any of that stuff. There's amazing work, but in that initial phase, or when you have that idea and it's complete in your brain, you just got to get it out. And that's really sort of what was happening for me was, you know, I had this like 20, 30 year sort of burning idea in my head as to what this would look like. And then it was coming out of me and I had to do it and I had to get it out. And so like the first couple portraits, actually this, I don't tilt my camera a little bit. There's like this spaceman here over there, where it's a piece of drywall.
Above.
Yeah, that was like one of the first ones that I did. And that was like, I was fixing a leak in my ceiling and I had paint and I was annoyed and I just had to get this out. And I did it. And then I was like, I wonder if I can do that again. And so I went over to a cupboard and I took the pine board out of the cupboard that was a shelf. And I painted on it. And I was like, I wonder if I could.
Was there anything on the shelf? Do you have to take your plates off?
It was like, it was like storage in my basement. You know, my pickles.
Oh, okay, okay. Season. It wasn't like in your kitchen cupboard. And Liz came home and was like, why are the glasses on the counter?
Everywhere. And then again, I just kept sort of asking myself, you know, I wonder if I can do this again. And I totally deconstructed the cupboard. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go and get some actual wood. Because after every time I sort of painted this, and from sort of not repressing it the whole time, but not really exercising it, every one I produced, I was like, well, is that a fluke? Like, should I do this again? Should I do this again? And then I sort of set this milestone that was, you know, I'm going to do this until I finish a painting and look at it and say, I can do this again. And I actually think it probably was like a full year plus before I sort of felt comfortable being like, I can do this again. And now in my mind, I'm like, I want to paint something big on somebody's bedroom wall. You know, I want to see if I can do that. And there's that creative challenge that, you know, we get that in work. We do, but when it's something that sort of coming out of you, you know, it's sort of like, you really just want to just ride that as much as you can. And, you know, seeing people's reaction to it, you know, there can be paintings that you don't think are very good, but that strike a chord with somebody. You know, you never want to deliver something that you're not confident in. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever super happy with their finished paintings, but, I did this one.
Haven't found one yet. Right? I've had a lot of these conversations with a lot of artists, and I haven't found one yet. They're always like, no, it all sucks.
Yeah, they're terrible. Everything is terrible.
But, you know, I'm always like, oh, there's another artist with another terrible painting that somebody bought for hundreds or thousands of dollars.
Right? I know. I mean, I hope. Like, I'm not looking for anything. You know, if anything awesome were to come out of my artwork, it'd be like, I'm remembered in 200 years because they dusted off accidentally, and they're like, oh, this guy. But no, I did this one, young woman reached out to me, and she had just lost, her family had just lost, their grandmother. And this woman reached out to me from Texas, right? We're in Ottawa. It was, you know, an Instagram post. I don't have a ton of Instagram followers. You know, I'm not an influencer by any means yet. Anyways, I said, send me a couple photos, and my process is really send me the photo that you want, but also, you know, tell me what their favorite music was. I like to listen to what they would have liked to listen to, you know, sort of lose myself in maybe what their sort of mindset was with whatever their music was, whether that be oldies or Metallica, who knows? Anyway, so I do this painting and I send it off, and I get this video of what would be the woman's widow, her husband. And he opens the painting and, you know, he gets emotional, but he hugs it, right? And you sort of get this sort of image of him hugging it. And I thought, you know, that's really, for me, like, whatever, you know, I charged for that or whatnot, that is such a wonderful thing to be able to generate or to provide for somebody. that memory or that remembrance. And that's pretty cool, you know. And I think anybody, you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It could be, you know, sparkle art. It could be really, you know, hand cut crafted chainsaw. You know, art is an emotional thing. It's something that people, you know, have an attachment for. There's a lot of work out there that I think a lot of people would be like, well, that's terrible, but it's sold for millions of dollars, right? And it's because there's a certain attachment to it. And you know, I think at the end of the day, no matter where my artistic journey or career, you know, takes me, as long as I can keep providing moments like that for people, I think that's really what it's all about, because that's the ultimate, not completion of that release, but that's the validation of that release, is that what you're feeling so emotionally you need to get out on a canvas or on a piece of board is then picked up and met with a similar emotion. You know, that's a really cool, timeless thing that's been going on that you can sort of be part of.
Well, yeah, and I can relate to that, man, because you did one for me that meant a lot to me about a man. And I was going to talk about that, so I'm glad you brought up the music thing, because I felt like that was an extra step too, that you like wanted to feel like, I think there's a lot of feeling in the work that you're doing and a lot of emotion, which is fascinating to me. It definitely has left a mark on me. Like, I remember seeing the first couple ones you did, and I was like, whoa, those are amazing. And then asking you to do that piece was like far and above beyond. When you produced that, I was like, that's something I look at every single day.
Oh, that's
And
awesome.
it's not something that I thought I would connect with as much as I have, but like, I remember that you asked about the music. I know that you told me you listened to the music while you were doing it. Which is also special. And like every part of that is like a special moment. I think about him, and then I think about you, and I think about all the things that encompass that. And I think that's really cool. And I don't know. It's a cool form of art that you're doing. And it's something that I could care less about most people's faces. Like, I know other portrait artists that are doing stuff, and I don't know why. I just don't care.
I think like the
But I like that you have story. There's always a story.
yeah
I love that it's either there's an iconic person. I love that there are people
yeah
like the farmer that I have that I don't know who
yeah
he is. Why would I want this man in
yeah
my house?
yeah
But I know there's more to
yeah
it. I know there's more to the story, I
yes
think,
And
somehow.
I think there's a lot to that. So that's Lavender Man, and I was in Morocco, and we were driving sort of from point A to wherever, and you pull over, and it's really unique. You know, I don't know how this will sort of come across, but depending on where you travel, in Canada, you don't still really see people sort of everywhere selling stuff, right? Like watch parts or whatever, but in a place like Morocco, and there's certainly modernized locations, but driving along the highway, you can pull over, and there's somebody selling rocks with fossils in them, and you're like, oh wow, neat. Like, you know, there's enough sort of a tourist volume to do it. And so we're driving along, and you know, we pull over, and there's this stop, and there's people selling or whatever, but you know, I always sort of stare, and I always sort of people watch them and watching, but then just sort of off in the corner, there's this guy just sort of slowly pacing back and forth in his jalaba with dried lavender, just sort of not even like hawking, not even getting people over, just hoping, you know, a tour bus is going to come over and be like, oh, lavender, that's what I've been looking for. Let me
I need all of
give me
it.
your whole bushel of lavender. But you could sort of tell that this guy had just sort of that's what he did day after day, and you know, whatever he made, he made. And I'm sure there's more to the story, but he just was also a really unique guy, a really unique person, and a really unique face. And I didn't have a conversation in any extent with him other than, hey, you know, how much can I, is a bushel, you know, that's also part of it, is I don't sort of go up and be like, can I take your picture and run away? You know, if you're selling something, I'm gonna buy it, I'm gonna engage with you. So gave him however much, and you know, said thanks, but you know, you can keep it, sell it again, you know, I'm a sucker, but let me take your picture. And so I took his picture a couple of times. And yeah, it's there's also something where I don't know how many photographers you talk to. By no means would I call myself a professional photographer. It's something I really love and I enjoy doing, and I think I've had some really great results. But there's something when you look through a lens and you actually look into somebody's eyes, right? Like you actually sort of are, you feel that connection where you're like, okay, you looked at me and I looked at you and you let me take that picture. Thank you. And every portrait that I've ever taken that I really enjoy, that's always happened. That feeling of like we connected and we sort of saw eye to eye in that moment. And that's pretty cool, you know. And that's why I understand, like, again, I'm not a professional photographer by any means, but I totally get it why people would chase that their entire life as a photographer in whatever sort of medium or fashion. I don't know how much you get that in wedding photography. No offense to wedding photographers, but
No, you're allowed to have offense. It's
yeah.
fine. We can offend people here. It's fine. It's okay to offend people. I'm taking a hard stance, and I offend a lot of
Oh,
folks. So
perfect.
it's anybody that listens to this
Yeah.
has no problem
Wedding
knowing that
photographer.
I
Yeah,
have
I hear.
offended. And I will be
Yeah,
offended. Yeah, that's
turn
right. If
this off now.
you're a wedding photographer, well, you know what I often say, it's really funny. If you want to be a wedding photographer, that's great. But I always find it funny that people, especially creatives in video and photo, they're always like, "Well, I'm going to start with wedding." I'm like, "Don't, because you'll be there forever."
Yeah.
Like, if unless you really want to do that.
Well,
But yeah, if you're a wedding photographer and you're listening to this episode,
done
get
so.
on out of here.
Done so.
Get on out
That's
of
okay. I often describe what I do as I started a portrait painting business 200 years too late. So me and wedding photographers are gonna go hang out at the bar.
200 years too late, or is it 200 years too early, or is it the right
Exactly,
time?
the right
You
time.
know,
Yeah.
I wanted to bring you on this podcast because, one, I thought you were very creative, but two, I also think you're incredibly dumb and you're not doing this full time, and I wanted to berate you live in front of other
Perfect.
folks,
Perfect.
so that other people hopefully can jump on that
Right.
bandwagon. So we did talk about it a little bit, but how, what, because you had a whole
Yeah.
idea and then you got a
Yeah.
job, and
Yeah.
but what does hold you back, do you think? Like, I know we talked about like fear and
Yeah.
risk and that kind of thing, but like even
Yeah.
deeper, is there a deeper thing that like holds you back from, like, because you've got a lot of
I
pieces
do.
now
I do.
and they could all be sold.
I think really for me, there's sort of two, there's two Zachs, right? And anybody who knows sort of the professional day-to-day Zach listening to this might be like, what the holy moly, the guy's in the corner of his basement with paintings and, you know, is that tattoos that he has?
Right.
You know, I think for me, we often talk about you know, not midlife crisis, you know, I'm almost 40, but it's I've gone down this path of, you know, community political stuff and all that, that it's been wonderful and it's been great. But I've done it and I've sort of seen where I think it goes. And that's not to say that I don't want to keep doing a little bit of that into the future. But I think as I go forward, for me, it's really about trying to figure out how do I begin to transition more of what I'm doing on this side. So that begins to pay, not more of the bills, but begins to become a little bit more serious, right? And to get down to, you know, it's actually bringing over some of those habits from that professional side into this creative side. And it's funny, it's sort of two sides of my brain, you know, the creative side's like, don't talk about spreadsheets. Oh my God, don't. And the professional side of me is like, Zach, if you don't have a spreadsheet, you're gonna get ripped apart in this meeting. Like you need to know what you're talking about. And so it's I think starting to understand how, you know, I've been successful with certain you know, professional jobs that I've had, you know, like in the one job I'm in right now, you know, I've brought in hundreds of thousands of dollars of grants. And that's not to say that I can go out there and get, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of grants for myself, but I have the skills, the patience, and the determination to sort of do these things. So I think it's starting to think about it in a little bit more of a real way where, you know, I don't want to be sitting there in another 40 years, well, another 20 years and saying like, holy shit, you know, I'm ready for my next iteration of portraits. I think I'm ready to start trying to think about how I do that. And to all those folks out there, I think it's really about making time, and that's the hard thing, right? Like making time. Like, how many times have we tried to do this sort of sit down and chat, and it's been X, Y, and Z, and that's on me, 90 to 100% of the time. And you just need to be serious about it. You need to take yourself seriously. And I think if you're thinking about what's that deeper thing that's holding you back, it's, I think that a lot of people don't take themselves seriously. And you need to look at your artwork, and you need to, whatever that process is of you painting again and saying, I wonder if I can do that again. I wonder if I can do that again. I wonder if I can do that again. And you'll get there. You'll get there, Rocky.
I actually love that's a really great I don't know, just that repetition of like, can I do this? Okay, I did it. Can I do it again? Can I do it again? You know, and it's like, or was that a fluke? You know, and it's like, I love that idea because I don't know, I don't think I've talked about that yet, but if like of that repetition and like looking at it, I don't know, do you look at stuff like objectively and say, oh, I would change this or I'll try that? Or I feel like you're always trying something a little bit different.
Something a little bit different, but at the same time, I'm trying to be, there's that business side of it too, right? Where like part of doing it over and over again is I want to be able to produce over and over again to a certain quality. But there's also something where I don't really like to go back and rework on a painting again. I like it to be in the moment in which I created it and did it. That's what that is. That's what you get. That's it. There's been times where I've gone in and done it. There's been a couple of paintings, I'll be honest, that I don't really like, that sort of just sit over wherever they are. And I think most of those are at the beginning phase of learning what to do. Like, it was really funny, speaking of technique, like I use water and I use acrylic, and I was talking to my brother, again, an art professor, and he was like, oh, water is what you use to clean your brushes. You need to be using medium. Like, what are you doing? Like, you know? And I'm sitting there like, well, I like the water. I like what it does on the surface, and I have a reason for it. And so I think there's certain things where, technique and how you want things to sort of work and do sort of have to come into the play. But yeah, no, I think the long and short of putting it on and hold backs is like just keep at it. And I think I feel there's a certain space and time where this is going to work out, and this is going to, be not what I do, but everybody wants their portrait painted, right? And so let me do it.
Well, and I think they're, man, even that's great. Like, I love the, the rule is this, but this is how I feel. We should use medium, but water just does the thing that I want it to do.
Water's a bit dirtier, it's all that paint mixed out in there, again, maybe I can just explain it and out, articulate an art professor. That's my brother, but no, you got to cut that part out.
No, but I just love that idea of like, well, I love the amount that you did too, of like, it's just, I did it and it's done and now I've moved on. Because I was going to ask you about your emotional attachment, because I know there's lots of stories behind it, but it's like, okay, on to the next, on to the next. And I think we even talked about at one point, I asked you, I know some take longer and some are shorter, but it was like, oh man, these must take like days, weeks to do. And you were like, no, I get in the zone and I like bang them out.
It's really, for me, the big thing, so sort of the process in general is I really like to draw a pattern first, right? So I'll project an image, I'll sort of get a pattern almost very similar to a tattoo. And as I'm doing that, I'm also thinking about how that's going to be applied to paint. And then sort of, I take all that stuff away and I just have my pattern, that I've sort of figured out in my brain, and I pour my paint and I get into it. Like, it's, I want it done and dusted. I think there's something, I'm going to get it wrong. It's like Malcolm Gladwell or whatever, where it's like, you know within 30 seconds what your answer is. And And I think with what I'm doing, I'm not trying to oversell something, right? Like I'm creating something
Right.
that's a crafty emotional experience for people. And you know, that's why, like, I don't ever expect my paintings to sell for thousands of dollars, right? Like it's a you know, a couple hundred dollar experience that everybody should be able to
Yeah.
sort of approach, right? And you know, I love the idea of the accessible mediums too, right? Like, you know,
Yeah.
painting on a piece of drywall.
It's a piece of wood. Piece of drywall, piece of
Yeah,
wood.
like
You know, like I love that.
That's a thing. Like everybody's felt wood. Everybody knows what wood feels like. You know,
Yeah.
And it also adds to the emotional feeling of it, right? Like it adds something to that to be like, oh, that's drywall. I see drywall around me all the day, and somebody painted on that, right? Like, well, I'm not doing anything that hasn't been done for, you know, thousands
Yeah.
of years.
Well, I don't know if faces have been painted on
Yeah,
drywall very
fair. Some
often.
form of plaster.
But yeah, I don't know. I love everything about that. That's why I wanted to have you on here because I just your energy.
Oh, too kind.
I remember actually we didn't even talk about this, but we'll briefly cover this. But like, I love any time we were together when you were in the BIA. It was like, hey, do you want to try this? And it was like, yeah, you know, we'll like maybe we'll shape it, we'll shift it, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we're gonna get there. But even there was an opportunity for you to be in a commercial, you
Yeah,
know,
that's
and I
true.
was like,
Yeah.
hey, do you want to come be in front of the camera? And you're like, yeah,
Yeah.
sure, why not? Like, let's just
Yeah.
try it.
Yeah.
And if anybody takes anything away from all of this, I hope that it's that attitude of like, yeah, let's try it. Like, what's the worst thing that could
Yeah.
happen? Let's just give it a go.
Totally. You know, one day at a time, you know, one foot in front of the other, all that sort of wisdom. But I think that's our biggest flaw is, you know, we don't want to try things. We're scared to fail. And I'm sure we've all failed and, you know, we've all been yelled at or we've all, you know, done whatever. But I think if I can sort of apply one thing where it's looking at my artwork and it's looking at creativity, I'm disappointed I didn't try doing this stuff earlier, right? You know, I was so energized saying yes, trying to do other things. I wasn't really saying that. I wasn't saying yes to myself, you know, like, and I think that's a really important thing to do. All those creatives out there, you know, you may have a parent, you may have a sibling, you may have a friend who says it's stupid or it's silly to go and draw whatever it is. Well, go and draw it. You know, draw. Have a good time.
All right, I need to ask you one last question. What is the one thing that you could use as a creative to succeed? Like right now, moving forward, what's something that you could use as a creative?
Huh. Wow, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing for me would be more opportunities to show off my work in an accessible way, right? You know, we talked even before this that right now Beyond the Pale, there's the skateboard deck show. You know, I just did a backboard for a vintage clothing store, you know, mini net, you know, show. And not that I'm looking, I did a keg once for another one. And not that I'm looking to make money on those things. I know many people are. But that's a real opportunity to get out there and show off my work and creative challenges, right? You know, I think we talked about painting over and over and over again. Well, I also want to be challenged. Like, can I paint on that keg? Can I paint on that plastic backboard from, you know, the dollar store? And yeah, you know, I can. And I think it's when you're challenged, some really creative and cool things can happen. But you also, from a strategic perspective, get your name out there and engage. And I think that's really important. There's not enough of that. You know, there's not enough. There's markets. There's absolutely art markets. There's all these things that you can do. But, you know, we're just not displaying enough community works and group shows.
Well, I hope that those opportunities do exist more and more for you because your work is out of this world, and I just love how much passion and energy. Anybody that listens to this will agree with me, and if they don't, it's because they're dumb and bad.
Too kind.
But the energy that comes out of you when you talk about this stuff, that's what gets me excited. And that's what, like, I don't know, that's what's going to get more people excited as they see it too. It's just you, like, being excited about this work. It's so super infectious.
You're too kind, and do more cool shit is super important, I think, to be having these conversations. And, you know, you've always been a huge supporter of the arts. I've always thought it was really sort of fun and always awesome to sort of interact with you. And, you know, your contribution to you know, I think encouraging that outside of the box, that be creative, like, all these rules have been set, but why? Let's explore. Let's do art. Let's do cool shit. I think it's just so great. So I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about this.
Awesome. Well, I thank you so much for joining me. And like you said at the top of the episode, that will always stick in my mind.
Why not?
Go
paint on that.
Why not? Yeah. So get out there and go paint on
some walls. Go get it.
Thank you so much once again to Zach Daler for hanging out with me. What an amazing episode that was, right? Can't you agree? Don't you agree? Like, isn't the passion, the excitement that you get from Zach all the time just so infectious? I hope that you listen to this podcast. I hope you watch this podcast. I hope you feel that spark that Zach has. I hope you go and visit his Instagram account, which you'll find linked below in any and all of the descriptions. You're going to find his stuff. Go look at his stuff. And drop him a comment, leave him a comment, let him know that you listen to this, let him know that he should keep pursuing art even more, because the man is super talented. Like I said before in the intro, I love the fact that his story is about starting with creativity wherever you are, with whatever you have. It doesn't have to be fancy, it doesn't have to be amazing, but you do have to keep starting, you do have to start, and you have to keep moving, and once you start, it is much easier to keep moving. I love this episode. I so appreciate Zach for hanging out with me. And one of the things that I really also wanted to point out, just one last little tidbit, is I love that Zach has weaved into his work this idea of painting with meaning and with storytelling. The idea that he finds people fascinating, the idea that he can meld those two worlds together, and the idea that he can actually even meld in travel as well. Travel, people, art, all together, super amazing. I love that that's part of his life, part of what he's doing. And I hope that you also, if you're listening to this, take all the elements that super fire you up, find that bit of passion, find that bit of yes, and just do the thing. Look around you, find the easiest way to do it, create, put it out there, you know, and just try anything. I hope that that's what you took from this. I hope you totally get inspired by Zach's journey, and I hope that you go out in the world and create. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. As always, you know, go visit domorecoolshit.com. Tell me what you're working on. I love hearing what you guys are working on. I want to know what's going on. And I appreciate you guys all for coming along on this journey. And I will see you in the next episode, coming out in two more Mondays from now. Every second week, we're pumping out a brand new episode. And I have some amazing folks that I'm having conversations with and I'm super excited to bring to you. So thank you so much. I hope you guys are out there creating. And don't forget to go out there and do more cool shit.